You're listening to the Libertarian Party of Indiana podcast, where we talk to the individuals that help move our party forward. I'm your host, Executive Director Chris Spengel. You can hear all of our podcasts at podcast.lpin.org, or you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Financial support for this podcast comes from the 1994 Society. The 1994 Society is made up of grassroots libertarians like yourself that donate monthly to the Libertarian Party of Indiana. To join, please go to lpin.org/join. We thank you for your continued support. Joining us is gubernatorial candidate Rupert Bonham and lieutenant gubernatorial candidate Brad Kloffenstein. And thank you for joining us this week, guys.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having us.
Oh, no problem. Your opponents announced their running mates this week, and Brad has actually, you've been announced since March. And how are you enjoying being on the campaign trail?
I enjoy being out there, and I think it's given us a good head start that we've actually had two candidates out there kind of crisscrossing the state talking about issues. And while the other campaigns have been somewhat behind, obviously they're trying to catch up now. It's going to be interesting that my two opponents are both female and both a little bit older. So I'm looking forward to getting to be side by side with them and talk about the issues.
For those who may not have been longtime libertarians, you've been in the party for a while. You were the former executive director from, 2000 to 2005?
Yep, 2000 to 2005, I was state executive director. I had your job, Chris.
Lucky dog.
Yeah, I actually joined the party in 1992.
Wow.
It was Andre Moreau was the presidential candidate, and I saw him on CNN or somewhere. And that was the first time I'd ever heard the term libertarian. And suddenly this guy's talking about stuff that me and my college roommate had just discussed at our dorm. I'm like, this guy's speaking to me. So I contacted the party and I got a couple newsletters. And I saw that they were looking for somebody to be a college coordinator and travel around the country. I'm like, well, that sounds fun. And I was just getting ready to finish up school. So I sent them a resume. Next thing you know, they hired me. And I'm crisscrossing the country trying to set up college libertarian clubs.
Wow, that's really cool. And so then you went on to work as the executive director of the Libertarian Party of Indiana, which essentially, I'll summarize, is the do-it-all for the party. I assume you were the only paid employee at the time.
We had a couple others, actually.
Okay.
So I had different folks that were in there at different times, but by and large, it was mostly me with a couple interns that were in there. But it was fun. I mean, every day is an adventure, and there is an infinite number of things that you can do. And
you're the communications director, the fundraising director, there wasn't social media at that point, but you run every aspect of the state party and coordinate volunteers and bring new people into the party. It's a lot of fun. And so what did you go on to do after were executive director?
I will give you a very frank answer on why did I leave. It's because I was tired of being poor.
Nonsense.
So I actually went on to become executive director.
You didn't get the company Rolex like I did?
No. Amazingly, I didn't get the health benefit plan or anything else that apparently you have. So I left to become executive director of the Indiana Licensed Beverage Association, which in simpler terms, I was the director of the Bar Owners Association. So
okay, and I assume your love of beer qualified you for that position.
Correct. Well, I in between my stint as campus organizer for the National Libertarian Party and then state executive director, I was a beer salesman for 4 years. I even sold a little bit of radio for Q95 and X103. And I enjoy adult beverages responsibly and encourage others to do so as well. But that industry has always been kind of near and dear to my heart.
And you've actually you left there and you've branched out and you've started your own business, the Tavern League of Indiana.
Correct. So the Tavern League of Indiana. We've opened it up. Not only can bar owners join this, but employees and patrons.
Okay.
So we represent that entire industry of anybody that enjoys going to bars or working at bars or owning bars can be a member of this. And we're just an advocacy group.
And so what are some of the things that I assume you probably focused a lot on the smoking ban recently?
Recently, we did a lot of work on the smoking ban, both in Indianapolis and then statewide on the statewide smoking ban. Statewide, we were successful in getting bars that only allow adults in to be exempted from the statewide smoking ban. We pretty much lost the one in Indianapolis. I know that some people down in Evansville have filed a lawsuit, and they're looking to overturn that. And I think that we're going to try to throw a little bit of support behind them. However, it was a little bit of a lost cause in Indy, but we'll see where it goes.
Sure. And just to expand on that for another question, what are some of the issues that face the small business owners, those bar owners in Indiana that may have prompted you to take on this task of running for lieutenant governor?
Certainly bar owners, not only do they have all the same hurdles that any small business does, which is you have to get an employee identification number and you have to be a business entity. And you there is a litany of filings you have to do just to create a business. And then basically you are a tax collector. Once you become a small business owner, truly a small business owner spends about half their time doing filings and regulations and withholdings. So unfortunately, they spend more time serving the government than they do actually serving their customers. You throw bars into that, which is probably the most regulated industry in that you have to have a tobacco license if you want to sell tobacco. You have to have an alcohol license when you sell alcohol. You've got to have the health department come in and inspect you twice a year. And it's just more and more regulation and oversight. Some of it protects the public good. Other regulations, though, serve nothing but to put money in government's pocket.
Before we move on to Rupert to talk about the selection of the lieutenant gubernatorial candidate, do you have a website for the Tavern League?
Yes, it's tavernleagueofindiana.com or .org. You can go to either one of them. We've got both of those.
And I know you're on Facebook as well.
Correct. And that's Tavern League of it's Facebook/Tavern League of Indiana.
So Rupert, when you're thinking about who you're going to choose as your running mate, what are some of the things that you put into the decision? What are you looking for in a running mate that led you to pick Brad?
You know, really, when I started talking with my team about who we would choose, with me being that first-time candidate, with me being so green as a political figure, I needed somebody that actually had that political background, you know, had a little bit of working knowledge of how especially the Libertarian Party ran, because I've only been a few years in the Libertarian Party. You know, I'm new to the political world totally. I find it interesting, though, also, I just want to say this, being able to run around and campaign and saying the same things that I've been saying for 20 years, but people now see it as political, I love that. Mm-hmm. And when we started talking to Brad about being that small business owner, about some of the regulations that we come up against, about some of the problems that I will have and we together will have running for governor because we do not have the giant machine behind us. And he had some great ideas. It just seemed like we fit very well together. You know, he has been in the party, like he says, since 92. He understands what it's going to take for us as libertarians to really get our word out.
Mm-hmm. How did the process unfold? Were there other candidates that you were interviewing or thinking about, or was it platonic love at first sight?
I have to say that I've been thinking about it. You know, we've been campaigning for almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking about it that entire year and looking at fellow libertarians across the state as I was helping in some of the other campaigns. Really, when I started talking to Brad, in my mind, there was no question. He fits. He understands. He's ready to go and actually do what the lieutenant governor is going to swear that oath to do. Stand up for our state, stand up for the Constitution, bring the libertarian philosophy to us, and can do it in a socially acceptable way, understanding how we not only have to show who we are, but who libertarians are also.
You've been in the Libertarian Party since 1992. You've been, you know, you left as executive director. You went on to do other things. You worked in not necessarily a lobbyist capacity, but you worked with the legislature to represent your organizations. What about this role, kind of stepping back into the world of libertarians? You know, was that a tough decision for you? Is it just the fact that Rupert is a unique candidate that makes you want to kind of sidestep some of that stuff and maybe go back to more of a partisan role to get the message out?
Well, some of this has been kind of a long-term plan. You know, as libertarians, if all you do is libertarian politics, you're never taking that message to the masses. And so when I left as executive director, part of that was by design. I wanted to get with another organization, and an organization that represented small business owners was perfect because that's a natural constituency of ours. But I wanted to go out and, you know, be at the state house and not be known as just the libertarian, but somebody that can work on behalf of other large groups of individuals and speak in a libertarian tone, but not necessarily be specifically a libertarian. Mm-hmm. And see that those all join together. So, yeah, I wanted to get out into it. Wasn't necessarily the private sector because it was still a not-for-profit. However, I think I've been able to blend that well. Whenever I'm at the state house, people know I'm a libertarian. I've never shied away from that. Sure. And it's amazing. People are kind of drawn to you. You're like that little puppy that they want to come over and pet and go, oh, isn't he so cute? We want to find out more.
You don't have glasses? You aren't in a library? What's wrong with
you? You seem normal. And so to go over there and have, and I've had a fair amount of success advocating on behalf of issues that are bar related and others. And so I wanted to go out and show that, you know what, you can be a libertarian and you can still talk on behalf of issues that Hoosiers care about and be successful talking about those and advocating for them. And when Rupert decided he wanted to run, I was very intrigued by the whole candidacy. And the more I watched what he was doing and how hard he was working and what his message was, like, here's a candidate that's going to catch fire. And I'd always said, I want to get back actively involved with libertarian politics, but it has to be right and it has to be a winner.
Sure.
And Rupert is really the one that I think is going to deliver that. And so when he and I started talking, I had a little bit of a man crush. I wanted to be a part of this winter.
And I know your goatee's gotten a little bit longer.
We are a team to be reckoned with. We are actually, I feel 100% we are the best team to be governor, lieutenant governor for Indiana. And we do have a great chance of winning. We have a great chance of pulling a lot of people that have never voted or have never even felt good about their votes, maybe, to actually come out to the polls, come out to the website, come out, give their support and their votes.
And I think from a state party perspective, you know, it is more up to the gubernatorial campaign to recruit a lieutenant gubernatorial candidate than, you know, state party or county parties, which those are the ones that normally recruit
right.
candidates. You know, but from a state party perspective and a party leadership perspective, Brad is the type of guy that if he's elected lieutenant governor, he can go be the agricultural secretary. He has the qualifications. You've served on state boards. You know how state government runs. And that is essential to help assist a candidate that's running for the first time. Political people are kind of an alien race a little bit. So it's sort of been a culture shock, I think, for Rupert a little bit to come into the world of politics and like, man, these people are kind of different. Not in a bad way, but
well,
a little bit different.
And exactly
you
know? Right.
And you've got to navigate that, and you need someone with you to help you kind of navigate how that world works, the
right.
world of politics.
You know, Brad and I were just talking a few minutes ago about what some of the duties of governor and lieutenant governor are. And, you know, honestly, we are planning that when we do win, we are ready that day to walk in and start running Indiana.
So let's talk about the lieutenant governor. What would you do when you're elected lieutenant governor?
Well, some of the duties of lieutenant governor, you're president of the Senate. You're basically the Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Indiana. You're over tourism. You do a lot of business outreach. You lead trade missions. Indiana's lieutenant governor has more duties than any other lieutenant governor. So it's not just a sit around and play golf and attend funerals kind of job. I'm looking forward to getting involved with policy, crafting legislation. There's a lot of positive that can be done here in Indiana. And I know Rupert and I have talked. One of the great things is when we get in there, we're the only campaign that's saying we want less regulation. Mm-hmm. We want less laws.
Correct.
And so when we get in there, we're not going to be playing favorites and passing more laws to protect more industries. We're going to be the ones saying, we don't need this law. We don't need that law. And I'm looking forward to getting involved with that because I'll be the one on the front lines. Rupert will be the one that signs the legislation after it's up past both chambers and comes to his desk.
Well, let's talk about the campaign a little bit. How do you guys sort of, do you split up the duties in the campaign and, you know, you go to the Johnson County Fair, well, you go to the Cass County Fair, and or are you going to campaign together? How are some of those, how's that going to shake out over the next few months?
You know, we've got 5 months and a few days left of this campaign.
164 days.
164 days exactly as of today. We are going out together some. We are splitting up our forces some because a lot of the county fairs are held during the same times. We want to be able to go across the state and talk to as many people as we can. We want to, and my goal a year ago was to be able to be in front of 1 million Hoosiers. I see now 1.5 million Hoosiers we want to talk to over the next 5 months. We've got to split up our forces some, but at the bigger events, you know, we'll be together. I I like showing people in Indiana the team that I think will really bring us some clarity.
And Brad, what are some of the things that you've done to campaign, or how are you getting your name out there a little bit?
Yeah, kind of what Rupert was saying. Just June 2nd is a fine example. I'm going to be at a parade in Fortville, Indiana. He's going to be in Spencer, Indiana, and we almost have to split up. If we're together, I think that we kind of diminish the number of people that we can touch. One of the great things is when I was executive director of the party, I loved getting out and about around the state of Indiana, especially with a lot of the legislation that I've worked on here in the past year that's given me the opportunity to build constituencies, talk to bar owners and small business owners around the state of Indiana. And Rupert obviously has a big name when it comes to media as far as lifestyle type shows. He's certainly well-known, and he's the big dog. Fortunately, a lot of the media outlets that do politics are familiar with my name around the state. So we're not just coming in blind. We're able to go out and kind of do our different things and even talk to different reporters. So
we actually met when you were a frequent guest host of Abdul in the Morning when I was a producer there. So right. We knew each other long before I even thought about taking this job.
You were still a Republican back then.
Listen, we all do things when we're young that we're not proud of, all right? Let's not get into it.
We all come from somewhere.
You're right, yes. Some of us just are not proud and don't want to talk about it. So what's your sense of how it's going? What do you want to accomplish here in the near term? And what can people do to help you accomplish your goals? Let's start with Brad.
The great thing that we have going for us, Rupert still has better name ID than any of our opponents right now, and we're going to capitalize on that. Just because he is a kind of a non-traditional, non-political type candidate, I think we're going to be able to capitalize on the fact that our opponents are underestimating us. Because he wasn't known in the political world, they feel that he's not a legitimate candidate. But the fact is, there's a lot of people that have never voted in their life that are going to come out and turn out for Rupert. And
I had a lunch meeting in Steak and Shake today, and I was discussing Rupert's campaign with the gentleman I was having lunch with, and the guy in the booth next to us turned around and he goes, "Rupert!" Yeah, and he was probably a 75-year-old retired science teacher who he watched you on Survivor, then he's been following the campaign, and he was like, "I love your t-shirt too, by the way, where can I get one?" And I said, "Go to rupertforgovernor.com and you can order one there, and you can buy one there." And it is incredibly exciting to have that happen. You know, just some person just hears the name Rupert and turns around and says, "Yeah, I'm on that team." You know, nobody that I've ever seen before, you know, just a stranger in a booth at Steak and Shake excited about your campaign.
Last week, I thought I was getting carjacked. The guy at the stoplight behind me jumped out of his truck and came running up to my truck. I'm like, "All right, what's going on here?" He goes, "Rupert!" Because he saw the bumper sticker on the back of the truck. He's like, "Where do I get one of those?" I'm like, "Here you go, got them right here."
Rupertforgovernor.com.
There you go.
And so what's the short term look like for the campaign, and what can people do to help out the campaign, Rupert?
Right. You know, you were talking about where we're going, what we're doing. We are traveling across the state. We are trying right now to grab as many volunteers as we can. We have 5 months to create an army of thousands of volunteers to help us finally at Election Day. But before that, creating those teams in 92 different counties that are willing to go out and knock on doors, to pass out literature, to help the grassroots style of fundraising where, you know, just like our receptionist, who is a sweet young lady volunteer, talking about, "Do you think it'd be okay if I had a bake sale and sent the money into the campaign headquarters?" I said, "Of course, and encourage as many people out there as you can. Have the bake sales, have the car washes, get involved with, you know, I've seen over the years people do a lot of different fundraising, you know, and send that into campaigns.
Have a family barbecue. Invite your friends, family, and coworkers over, and have, you know, invite both Brad and Rupert
or one
of the others.
You know, if you make a big enough event, if you give us enough warning, enough advance notice, we would love to come out. If we have that chance, if we have that time, I want to create the coffee clutches. I want to create the little Sunday brunch that we're having, you know, after my family and I are home from church. Going out and doing a little meet and greet with people across the state. Brad and I were talking about 92 counties in, you know, 9.5 days. We want to put out that little blast that we're looking at doing different tours through county fair time, where in 2 weeks they have 40 or 50 county fairs across the state. Well, in that 2 weeks, we're going to try and be at as many of them as we can. And sometimes Brad and I are going to opposite ends of the state. You're going to see a lot more of us. You're going to see a lot more of the issues coming out, too. As we get closer to the debates, hopefully I can get more and more interest that some of the, besides just, you know, C-SPAN and little local media, but maybe even some national attention on what we're talking about here in Indiana.
And that's a frequent question that I get. You will be in 3 gubernatorial debates between you, Mike Pence, and John Gregg. And
yes,
you'll be, because of the Indiana Debate Commission, we're on equal footing. Andy Horning will be in the debate with Richard Murdoch Joe Donnelly. Is there a lieutenant gubernatorial debate?
Not yet, but we need to get one going.
We sure do want to have one.
It's the debate between the 3 people that no one can pronounce their names.
Chris, Rupert and I were talking. I find it interesting. Of the 6 candidates now that are top of the ticket for the 3 parties, Rupert and I are the only 2 that are under age 50 and live north of Columbus.
Yeah. That is very true. And it's kind of funny.
It is.
So, well,
you know, there's a lot of differences out there, but to that, you know, being able to have the next 5 months to really get our names out there and to make as many people understand my last name is not for governor, it's Bonham. You know, Rupert for governor is our slogan, Rupert for governor. Remember, tell as many people as you can out there, get on our website, rupertforgovernor.com, hit that donate button, be promoting what Rupert Bonham is talking about. What I want to actually do is what we've been doing for 20 years here in Indianapolis. Empower our community. Give back to our community. Back the government out of our world. Let our world become a little gentler. Encourage those people to help themselves and others and to stand up. Stop asking for that hand out and helping each other get that hand up. It works. You know, Brad was just talking about the golden rule. That really is our philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Being able to show that to the world, who's not going to want to stand with us?
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys for joining us here on the podcast. And please make sure you go to rupertforgovernor.com to check out Rupert and Brad.
Yes, sir.
And please support them. So thank you for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Libertarian Party of Indiana podcast. For more information, please visit us at lpin.org. Our music has been provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. To hear more of his music, please visit briankeithwallen.com or find him on Facebook. Thank you for listening.